this morning on the faith to be in love. This is part two. Last week I gave you part one. And I'm going to continue with part two this week. It takes faith to be in love. Love ain't for no wimps. How many know I'm telling the truth in here? Now, the feeling of love, now some people have called what they think is love is really infatuation. Because what many people mean when they say I love you is I love the way you make me feel. And when you stop making me feel a certain way, I don't think you love me anymore. But Lord, if love was a feeling, you'd be worse than almond joy. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Man, I love that New Edition special came out. Y'all be like New Edition every day. If it isn't love, why do I feel it? I mean, you have all the, why does she stay on my mind? You have all the stuff going on. I can't dance, but I'm a real dancer in my head. But I'm going to give you some tools to be in love. I mean, the kind of love that'll hold you. All right? So here's part two today. The first part of being in love. Let me pray. Father, bless the hearers of the word in Jesus' name. And amen. Most of this stuff I'm going to say, if you're not married, store it up. It's going to be great. If you are married, you're going to be like, I done heard this before. But you ever heard somebody and they say, I already know that. And you say, well, if you know that, why are you not doing that? So I want to match your head up with your reality. The first part, being in love today, I'm going to tell you, is you have to be flexible. Somebody say, be flexible. The kind of flexible I'm talking about is an incredible flexible. There's a saying that said, blessed are the flexible, for they will not be bent out of shape. It takes flexibility in marriage. How many know I'm telling the truth in here? You wake up, you don't know if your kid's going to be sick. You get a call in the middle of the day, they cutting up. Or you never know what's going to happen in life. You don't know what's going to happen on your job tomorrow. So many people shut down because stuff doesn't go your way. And what's wrong with you? This is not how I plan my day. But the flexible people say, I don't care what happens. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because I have the power of God. But let me talk about marriage. Marriage requires flexibility. And flexibility comes from love. With flexibility, you get to. You don't have to. All right. One of my favorite meals of the day is breakfast. It's my favorite next to lunch and then next to dinner. Like them all and in between, I just love to eat. Buddy and I, we used to go down to a Midway Cafe. It's in between here and Shelbyville, and sometimes I go by myself. I went by myself this one morning, and this gentleman, older gentleman, sitting over there by himself. You ever sit down on a flight or go somewhere and you can just tell somebody want to talk? He had that look. And I said, Jesus. I tried to read my phone. I was in there to read. I was going to just eat my sausage, egg, and cheese omelet with two pieces of toast and some grape jelly with butter on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about in here? I was ready. And he kept staring. And I locked eyes with him. It was over with from there. He said, how you doing today, sir? I'm doing good. And he began to talk about life. And he said, what do you do for a living? Now, that's over for me, because you tell people you're a pastor, they either want to fight you or they want prayer. I ain't know which one I was going to get. I wanted to tell him I was a gangster rapper, but I ain't really look like it that day. He said, you know what? This is me and my wife's favorite restaurant. And I noticed he was by himself. He said, she's gone now. And he said, man, I'd give anything for one more meal with her. He was in the twilight of his life. He said, I'd give anything to have one more come home. Can you fix this? He says, she's getting on my nerves. She's telling me everything was broke, and she's bringing everything to me. And I'd be like, can you fix it? You can fix everything else. But he said, man, I miss it. And from that moment, it began to hit me what flexibility was. Because most of us don't recognize value until we have it. I got some athletes in here, and I got some people who have been through life. You ever had a former athlete come to you and tell you about, you need to maximize this experience. You'll never have this again, because most people don't realize what they had until they lost it. Well. The thing about value, you got to understand in the moment, so it requires flexibility. Flexibility says, I get to. I don't have to. I don't have to go home when I leave here. I can keep driving.
That's right.
I don't have to come back here next Sunday.
Yes.
I can go somewhere else. But I get to. I get to go home to somebody I love.
Right.
I get to come preach to y'all great men, just grateful people every week. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. You didn't have to come here today. You passed about 10, 15 churches on the way here, but thank you because you came to BFF this morning, and I promise you, you'll never forget it. It's a place where you can define your, I almost lost my cool points right there, define your destiny, develop in your purpose, and discover your potential. It's a place where the pastor is too cool to be embarrassed. I ain't just start doing this. I've been doing this for a long time. But here's the reality. You don't have to do what you're doing. You get the opportunity to be married. You get the opportunity to be a parent. There are parents who now, their kids are going on, and you remember those days where they were fighting in the living room and just having a good time, and you reminisce on those days, and you think, man, it requires flexibility to live through those moments. But let me tell you about flexibility in marriage, all right? Yes. Love does not keep score. If you write notes, put that in your head, tweet it, do whatever you want to do, but love doesn't keep score. But when you are not flexible, you take score on everything. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 says this, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not ignorant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Don't even say nothing to your spouse, just look at them. Jeannie, look back at me. Love does not seek its own. Love is not easily provoked. It's not provoked. Some verses say it's easily provoked. The last part is where I want to be. It says, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Now stop right there. Love doesn't mean I excuse a mess. It means I deal with a mess. But it doesn't hold the mess for the rest of its life. If you take love out of marriage, you take flexibility out of marriage, and you start to keep score on things you're doing and things you feel they're not doing. And this private resentment will set in. And you will become almost just religious in what you do without the love. I'm doing all this stuff and you ain't doing nothing. I washed the dishes last week and you ain't even looked at the dishwasher this week. All you got to do is put them in there. It's empty. Just push the button. Y'all know what I'm talking about in there. I'm sitting up here paying the electric bill, paying the gas, paying the mortgage. I'm working my fingers. You turn into a real hard worker right then. Working my fingers to the bone. And y'all don't appreciate nothing I do. Love doesn't keep score. Or maybe you don't say something. You say, oh, I'm going to forget this, but next time. I won't remember that next time. You ain't said nothing, but you building all that. Y'all keep looking at me straight ahead. All of these things are building. Love deals with things when it needs to be dealt with, but it doesn't keep score. It doesn't excuse a wrong. It deals with the wrong and moves on because we're not keeping score. You married couples, be honest. A lot of the arguments we deal with is because we're keeping score. Well, you ain't done much for me as I've done for you. And I don't feel like you love me as much as I love you. Or you don't respect me as much as I respect you. What would happen if you just gave it everything you got and trusted your spouse to do the same thing? You'd see flexibility out of this world. You could be in here mad right now. Because you've been telling them you didn't pick up, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Look at somebody and say, I need some flexibility in my life. Before I move on to this point, can I tell you this? This is for everybody in here. When you're flexible, you don't Bible thump. Bible thump is when you beat each other up with the word. You heard what the pastor said this Sunday. We ain't been home 10 minutes, you already doing it. You take, I just read this book, and you need to read it too. Here, you'd act better if you read this Bible. So what's wrong with you now? You don't pray enough. You need to fast. That's what's wrong. You ain't fasting, you ain't praising God, you ain't been to church. If you went to church, you know, we'd be a whole lot better. Well, how's that working for you? Yes, sir. They hate God, they hate the church, and they hate you by the time you get finished, if they'll be honest. You can't beat somebody over the head with this, but if you really get a hold of this word, it'll build up everything that is torn down. If you really understand what prayer is and just pray over it. And let God, don't just sit there and pray, but when you come out, God will give you wisdom on what to say and how to say it when you are flexible. Yes, sir. Bible says a letter kill, but the spirit bringeth life. Let me give you the next one that it takes to be the faith to be in love. It takes goals. Devin Franklin and Megan Good post my picture on social media, how great my family is. And I posted Barbara and Isaiah and I's picture on Facebook one day. It was during the, I don't know, Christmas season or what. And the Lord said, Jason, I want you to pray this. I said, all right. He said, let my life be as beautiful as this picture. Because the reality is, a lot of our life outside of that still moment It's not as pretty as that still moment. We look at TV, and you do know they get paid to act like that, right? Y'all do know that, right? You look at all these pictures of what these people look like. They got a great life. Them folks getting paid to act like that. If they gonna argue, it's written in the script. If they gonna make up, it's written in the script. But I know a script greater than any Steven Spielberg movie, greater than any Tyler Perry show you could ever watch. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I don't know what's going to happen day in and day out, but I got the script and the tools to set real goals in my life, and you should model what you see, but also know there's a story behind everything you see. It takes a lot to make things look good. Last Sunday, y'all came in here, and Danielle sung, me, myself, and I. And I don't know how y'all explained that when y'all left, that she sung a Beyonce song at church, but hopefully you put it in context. Loretta and Michael sung this song by Rochelle Farrell and Will Downing. What did I do to deserve this? Heaven knows I'm only human. And love was just in the air. And I was telling them afterwards how beautiful it sounded. I just knew I heard a beautiful song and I knew they could sing. She said, you have no idea how hard that song was. I said, you made it look easy. Here's the reality. Most stuff that looks easy is never as easy as it looks. There's always a backstory behind what it takes to get things done. That's why we're reading Romans 8 and 18. Look on the screen. It says this. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. There's a story behind every glory. You look at some people, how they praise God, and you say, it don't take all that. Why are you lifting your hands and why are you crying? But if you knew the hell that they had been through, if you had seen the things that God has brought them through, and they would say, you have no idea like I know what the Lord has done for me. Is there anybody here that God has been good to you? And you're not ashamed to praise him. You're not ashamed to let the world know, because you wasn't there when I was broken. You wasn't there when I was down and out. But it was God who kept me when I felt like I had nothing, when my heart was broken in a thousand pieces. That's why I lift my hands and say thank you. Because there's a story behind the glory. You look at people and say, they've been married for 40,000 years. God, do that in my life. But you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. Here's the reason why. Our goal should include an awareness of how, not just what. We fall in love with the product. But you got to love the process just as much as you love the product. I was speaking this past football season, and when MTSU was playing, Western Kentucky came in. And they called a chaplain to come in and speak to him. I spoke to the team, high energy. It felt good. And when I left, they were standing, and felt like I was in church preaching. And several of the prayers came up and spoke to me. They introduced me to one guy. He's a potential first or second round draft pick. I was talking to him about his life, about what he wanted to do and all that good stuff. And I stopped because something hit me in the middle of it. I said, hey, what year are you? And I know you have to declare. You can declare for your third year. He said, I'm a fourth year senior. I said, if you could go back to your freshman self now that you're a senior, what would you tell your freshman self? He said, I tell myself to trust the process because now it's paying off for me. He said, I felt like quitting many days. I didn't want to work out. I thought the coach didn't like me. I had all kind of stuff was going on. But now since I trusted the process, I'm seeing it pay off. Is anybody in here, your process may be rough right now? I want to encourage you that if you just stay the course, if you just keep pushing, if you just keep grinding, you'll see God make it worth the while after a while. You got to trust the process. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to trust the process. All right, let me switch gears for a moment. Another thing that it takes to stay in love is not only goals. It's not only flexibility. But you got to be able to communicate. Ladies, can I message you for a moment? Fellas, I need you to back me up on this one. Can you back me up?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Ladies, say what you mean. Here's a reality. Nobody is anointed to read anybody's mind.
Come on.
Say what you mean.
Yes.
Can I say it again? Say what you mean.
Say what you mean.
I was going across. I was going across. This meme was on the thing. And let me show you how men-women relationships can work sometimes. This lady said to this man, if you were my husband, I'd poison your coffee. And he said, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. The reality, looking at me strange, but it can get tense. I'm making jests, but here's the reality, Proverbs 21 and 9, ladies. Fellas, I'm going to get to us in a minute. Proverbs 21 and 9 says this. It's better to live on the corner of the roof. Now, I ain't talking about the middle of the roof. Just sit on the corner. You're about to fall off. Sit on the corner of a roof than in a house with a quarrelsome wife. A person who's never happy. Pick apart everything he does. He worked everything he had, and you just ripped it apart, not just at home, but in front of everybody. Men are driven by respect. We equate love with respect, and it's very hard to berate something and then expect it to produce. I tell people all the time, you can't treat me like I'm stupid and expect me to act dumb. I mean, expect me to act smart. You got to treat me how you want me to respond, even if I'm not acting that way. Here's a challenge to ladies. Don't nag. And that it's right to correct that half the stuff you see is wrong. But it's how you approach it. Own your feelings. Say what you mean. I saw you looking at her over there. What are you talking about? Versus, that made me uncomfortable. I didn't like the way you talked to me in front of my mother. Why you gotta disrespect me in front of everybody? You just picked the fight. The reality is inside of every man, if you tell me, y'all right in here?
Yeah.
If you tell me how you feel, it doesn't rise up my flesh. Because with all of us in here, there's about two people we're dealing with. You can act a nut, or you got that other side of you that's saved and really love God and Jesus. But everybody know you got that other side that just be itching up every now and then. And you say, come on down, come on down. The reality is you got to decide what you want to bring out of that person because you teach people how to respond to you. So say what you mean. Own your feelings. This is how I feel, because if you really express to a person that loves you how you feel, they're going to respond the way they should. Brothers, I'm going to mess with you for a moment. Ladies should say what they mean, but brothers, we need to mean what we say. We got to have some meaning and substance behind what we say. Proverbs 12, it's on the screen, or I want you to find it on your program or in the Bible, says this. A man will be commended according to his insight and judgment. If there's one thing that I'd sit down with many women who said, I don't really trust my husband's judgment. I think every man needs to know how to make a decision. He needs to know how to have sound judgment. It starts when you're in middle school. It starts when you're in high school, elementary. How you pick your friends. How you make decisions. When your emotions get the best of you, you cannot think, if I take this step, where am I going to land? You got to be able to make sound decisions. But it says this, but the one who is of a perverse mind will be despised. The person with a twisted mind, perverted mind, you're gonna look, the lady's going to be like that in the screen. You got to make sound decisions. Verse 9 says this, better is he who is lightly esteemed and has a servant than he who boastfully honors himself, pretending to be what he is not and lacks bread. Men, we have this thing called egos. But I think as loud as you scream, you need to have substance behind it. If you're going to be the man, be the man. There has to be something behind what you say. Here's the thing I refuse to be. I refuse to be a public success and a private failure.
All right.
Everybody talking about how great, oh, that pastor, did he not preach? And Barbara said over like this. The moment I'm preaching and she over there doing nails and I'm taking shoes off and painting toenails, y'all need to know, don't look at her, look at me. Because if there's something inside of me that makes her roll her eyes every time I preach, like, I wish you lived that stuff you preached. I got to take responsibility for that. I don't want everybody talking about how great Jason is and Isaiah sitting there in the corner rolling his eyes. I want to be as great as home, I'm serious, as I am in public. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's my soulmate. Not just me, but my house. What profit is it? The whole world says I'm great. Everybody applauding. But at home, I'm not winning. Fellas, the greatest question we need to ask ourselves, am I winning at home? Am I winning? But Barbara checked me one day, because I'd be going at it at home. I'd be on Isaiah. I told you about he'd be doing homework, just writing. Nervous. I'd be on Barbara about time and all kinds. She'd be on me too. And she said, I wish you was as hard on everybody else as you were on us. Ooh. I didn't know what to do right then. You know when you get stung with the truth and you don't know what to do? And it's the truth. And I'd ask myself an honest question. I'm being transparent with y'all. Do you know why that I'm that way at home and it's hard to be with other people? Because I know they're not going to leave. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Because I should want the same out of everything, everybody I'm connected to, as the ones that I live with. Now, granted, that's a different relationship there. But if I'm going to lead, I need to lead everywhere. She checked me in my tracks right then. That's the great thing about a spouse. They can check you and love you at the same time. People around you, they see you, they love you, but they only see you at your best. Got your nails done, hair done, smelling good. But you need to be with somebody who sees you at your lowest and your highest moments. So, fellas, we need to mean what we say. Life is full. We got broken promises everywhere. I'm going to do this. And it's a month later, and then you get mad because they remind you of it. And you're really just trying to get them off of you. I know exactly what I'm talking about with that. Another thing with communication. Y'all all right in here? Communication is more than just talking and being transparent. It's being on the same page. Psalms 133:1 says how good and pleasant it is for God's people when they live together in unity. There's a place that we live in where she's different than me, I'm different from her, but you understand how to flow together. When you understand how to flow together, you got to understand how we're wired. Barbara, the way she is wired, if it's clean, she's good. If you walk in the house and it's smelling good, everything's clean, put up, she's in a great place. Men are wired different. Some of us, I'm not talking about just being clean, but how we're wired to do things. Ladies, every man is wired to fix something. So when you tell us something, we're automatically in our head thinking, how can I fix it? You wouldn't believe what they said to me on the job. Who? And you're trying to figure out who it is when I need to come up there. Do we need to meet with them? I ain't saying all that. I'm just telling you. You know what I'm talking about in here. And that was a point. I've spoken this before. I was just in a tough spot, a bad spot in life. And I remember Barbara came in. She said, Jason, my check engine light, the light was out. I need you to get it fixed. She walked in and pointed something else out. The washing machine or something wasn't working. And she pointed this out. And at that moment, I started shaking on the inside. Because here's the reality. I'm wired to fix it. She was just venting what was going on. And I'm picking it on. It's like, I got to fix it. I got to fix it. And the reality is some stuff we didn't have the money to fix right then. Other stuff I didn't know how to fix. I didn't know how to ask somebody how to fix it. And the other stuff, I'll be honest, I was so tired I was just sitting there on the couch and didn't want to fix it. But when y'all know what I'm talking about in here. When you understand how each other is wired, you got to stop and let her vent. I don't want you to do nothing. I just want you to fix it. Fellas, it's great to ask the question before she starts talking. Am I listening or am I doing? I'm going to talk to this side right here. Do you want me to just sit here and cry, get some tears, some ice cream and cups, and we can just go at it? Or do I need to get my to-do list out and write down because I don't want to be arguing about this later on?
Yeah.
Ladies, it's the same thing with guys.
Good.
When we are respected, most of us have words of affirmation as our love language. When we're pushed to another level, every man loves a challenge. We dwell in this place called unity. I'm not changing you and you're not changing me. We learn how to listen, and watch this. I don't listen in black and white. I listen in color. Because when you listen in black and white, you see everything through your filter. Can I stop right here and almost be political for a moment? I think the world is divided right now because nobody's listening. Everybody's saying what they want to say. So you bring up something, somebody says, we need tighter laws on gun control. Somebody says, they're going to take all my bullets and all my guns. But somebody really could be saying, all I want is I don't want a nut with a gun walking around and shooting up my kid's school. Because I do believe that if you walk up in my house, you may walk in there. You're going to limp out. No, I'm serious. But when you listen in black and white, you go from one extreme to the other extreme, and you can't listen in extremes. You got to see where a person is coming from. And when you see where people are coming from, we can live together in a place called unity. The challenge of many marriages, you're listening to a woman trying to translate her words into man language. And you're listening as a woman trying to translate what he's saying into woman language. You have to listen to what a person is saying for what they're saying. And when I hear where you're coming from, not what I think you're saying, we can live together in a place. Am I making sense in here? Called unity. Because the standard is not what I think. It's our marriage and what needs to be fixed in here. So here's a challenge to you. Discover where people are coming from and find why they do things and don't get stuck on what they're doing. I'm through. Here's the last one here. And I'm going to pray. You got to stay fresh.
Yes.
I'll read the scripture in a minute. I was talking to this pastor, and he was challenging me. He said, Jason, how you doing? I said, I'm good. He said, are you fresh? I hope. He said, no, how your ideas flowing? How you loving on your wife? How's your church going? What are you reading? Now, I got automatically nervous because this brother, I know he prays about 4 hours every morning. If I stay in the room with myself for 4 hours, I'm going to hate myself by the time I leave. I got to get up and walk. I read. I listen to stuff on audio. Some people just say, I hate to read. I don't like to read. That's why I buy audio books, and I put them in my ear, and they read it to me. That's how it solve a problem. That's how you learn. I pray, and I move around. That's how some people lay on their face and pray. When I lay on my face and pray, I take a little nap. Jesus, if you want to tell me something, you can tell me. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. They are. You know, I learned the Bible. Some people say, I'm going to start in Genesis or read through Revelations. I read the Bible because I needed it. And I found out what I was dealing through, and I read every scripture I could on anger. I read every scripture I could on fear, and I just doubt that's how I read it. But he said, are you staying fresh? I said, what do you mean? He said, the moment you stop being fresh, everything around you gets stale. He said, as a leader, your organization, anything you're connected, your house, your marriage is only as fresh as you are. So many people you run into, man, my marriage is stale. I want to ask you, are you fresh? Man, everything around me is not working. How are you working? If I can keep myself fresh and I can keep vibrant things going on in my life, watch what happens. Married people, I'm just talking to the married people here. How fresh is your love life? Let me leave it at that. How fresh is it around your house when your spouse has something they really charged up about? When they really got something they're living for, something new going on, something adventurous? Man, your whole world changes. Our challenge is to keep each other in that place where we're constantly challenged and constantly fresh. You know why? Because God does us the same way. I'll close with a scripture. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. I put that on the screen because I didn't even want you to fake find that in your Bible. You know, people, you don't even know where it's at. You just stop and act like you're there. It's on the screen. It's on the screen. Don't even. Lamentations. I've been there. Church I grew up in, we had to sit in the pulpit, and we had to sit up there with some chairs in front of everybody, and they'd be reading them scriptures. I didn't know what half of them were. Now, yes, amen. Boy, when they came up them screens, that was the best thing ever happened. Look on the screen. Lamentations 3:22. It says this: it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And we can go home right there. Man, half the stuff that we have been through, it is nothing but the mercy. That's the difference between mercy and grace. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy stops what you do deserve. How many glad that God said, not so? There's some stuff that should have come, but God had that strong, stiff arm and said, not so. And it's because of his mercies that the plan of the enemy didn't take you further than what they did. But God kept you right in the middle of it. It's because of his mercy we were not consumed. Why? Because his compassion failed not. Compassion is when you feel for a person. You look at some people, you look and say, you know what? They deserve what they get. But God never says that. He said, my compassion for you will never fail. Verse 23 says this: they are new every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. It says, great is God's faithfulness. So if God gives me freshness every day, there's nothing like walking up. It was just foggy and it was dew all over the place when you woke up this morning. It ain't here no more. When you wake up in the morning, conditions right, you'll see new dew. Freshness. How fresh is your life? How fresh are you allowing God to do some incredible things? Our lives are fresh because here's the reason I'm connected with God. Not just because I'm just scared of going to hell and they done preach to me about revelations and I don't want to burn forever. That's just not the only reason why I'm saved. I have a relationship with God because he keeps me on my toes. He's challenging me every moment to do this. Just when I think I'm going good, God challenges me with something else different. God keeps you on your toes. He keeps stuff going in your life. He keeps me fresh. And his mercies are new every morning. Now, if God's mercy are new, I can live in his mercy and give my spouse new mercy every day. It's not excusing what I do, but it's dealing with what they do. Now, it ain't being no fool either. Now, if you're dealing with some cereal, it's some cereal fools that live. Love covers a multitude of sin, but it also gives you wisdom on how to deal with it. Some stuff you got to step back from for a moment to let that person figure it out. Oh, I'm talking real good in here to somebody. You all right in here? And then you engage as God deals with you and he deals with them. But here's my last challenge for you. Stay fresh. Stay fresh, my friends. Every day of your life, let God challenge you. You have no idea that coworker that's getting on your nerves why God has them there. You could be the CEO or they could be the CEO next year, and you have no idea what God wants to do through your life. Stay fresh, communicate, set proper goals, and be flexible. Stand to your feet. Hey, can I do this? I want to pray first for marriages, and then I'm going to pray for a freshness in every person. Hey, bow your head, close your eyes. I got to do this first. I would not be who I was if I didn't extend this to you. If you don't know God, you've not accepted the Son Jesus as your personal Savior, and you say, I need God's forgiveness in my life,